Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, Deaconess Patricia Neufer from Hands of Mercy. Good morning, Deaconess Neufer.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Tell us, what is Hands of Mercy?
Well, Hands of Mercy is an outreach of the church to people with disabilities in South Sudan. So it's sort of limited, you might say, and it's a focus both in the United States and in South Sudan, and one little village in South Sudan.
Hmm. Tell us about that little village in South Sudan. What is life like in that little village for the people who live there?
Okay. Well, first off, it is the sort of headquarters of the Lutheran Church in South Sudan. It's called the ELCSS, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Sudan and South Sudan, and their headquarters are there. So while they call it, and we call it, a village, it's actually sort of what we might think of as the county seat of Western Equatoria. So it draws from perhaps around, 1,000 people actually call that kind of home. So it's maybe a little misnomer in that it's not small, but it is very definitely a step back in time, as a lot of rural Africa is, in that there's no electricity, there's no running water. People get around basically on foot. There are some motorcycles, and now there are cell phones everywhere, which is a huge difference. But other than that, life is pretty quiet. It's very remote, in that there isn't a lot of connection, immediate connection with the outside world.
And why serve people with disabilities there?
Well, because they are the least of the least, and mm-hmm. Jesus calls us to serve those people. We're serving him through serving them. It's an environment where there's has been active euthanasia, such that people with disabilities, born with disabilities, are still often allowed to die. So it's a field that's very ripe for the gospel, so to speak, as all of the world is. But certainly when people with physical disabilities especially are most mistreated or most neglected, that's where the church really is. Can shine forth very strongly, and that's what our hope was in establishing an outreach of the local church to people with disabilities, that this would again be a very visible sign of what the church stands for.
And so how is Hands of Mercy, how do you go about serving those with disabilities in South Sudan?
Well, we of course wanted to work or meet their needs spiritually, but we also wanted to meet some very tangible, real needs. So Hands of Mercy has always had as one of its focuses, to develop marketable skills, to establish a center, which we did over the years. So we now have actually 7 permanent buildings in our compound. We are housed really right next to the Lutheran Church there, so we're on their grounds. But we have a workshop where people come every day, and people with disabilities, they come for food, for a hot meal. They also come for training, so we have various skills that we've been working on. We have a shop for the area for people to come, so we do work on bookkeeping skills and money skills with having things to buy and sell. We have some adaptive sewing machines. One of our board members is an auto mechanic, and he helps adapt some old sewing machines to hand crank. So we now have the ability to sew. They are learning to sew on sewing machines. We have a solar kiosk now where we actually recharge cell phones, batteries, which is a huge business. Mm-hmm. Seeing as cell phones are everywhere over there now. So there are very different ways in which we have a little bakery, so we're working on those skills. Again, all with an eye to helping the people gain meaningful ability to support themselves and also to support the center. And then we also have the large component of teaching, in that we have one of the local pastors teaches catechism daily, and another deacon from the church comes over and teaches English. So we have an arm that also reaches very clearly spiritually to their needs.
And who are the people? Who does it take to make all these things happen? It sounds like you have several things going on there in order to serve in that community. And you mentioned the local pastor and deacon serving there. Who are the people who really keep these things running?
Well, the local people are local, of mm-hmm. course. We always wanted it to be their center and the church's center. So as soon as we got to the stability point of having some permanent buildings and having some pretty permanent structure there, we set out to find a manager, a local manager. All along we've had a local cook whom we employ full-time. We have a special needs classroom now where we have four little children with cerebral palsy who come every day. So we have a teacher that we pay for what we call our special needs classroom. We have a shopkeeper because the shop is a large part of our income and our resources. So we have a full-time shopkeeper. All of these people have, except for the manager, have special needs themselves. So the managerial part of Hands of Mercy really arose out of the people that we started with. We started with 20 people. Basically, I this was my internship as a deaconess at Concordia Theological Seminary. I needed to write an internship, so I wrote a grant to Human Care and World Relief to be able to go to Sudan to establish this. So that's how it started here in the States. But all along, the idea was really to partner with the church, because I am a deaconess in the Lutheran church over there as well, but also to establish something that would be able to continue on its own, that supported by themselves.
And why? I lost my train of thought there for a second. Caught up in the story. Share with us any stories from. Have you had a chance to visit there in recently, or when was your last visit there?
Yes, I was there in October, November. Basically, I go twice a year. I went basically for a month at a time. Sometimes it's been a little shorter, sometimes a little bit longer, but basically for about a month at a time. I'm probably now going to be going once a year because they're doing so well themselves. But basically, my job is to not necessarily to keep things going at this point, but to bring new ideas, to bring new supplies, because half of my job with Hands of Mercy is here in the States. I mean, obviously more of my time is here in the States, but my job is to invigorate people here about missions and especially outreach to people with disabilities. So I work quite closely with opportunities to speak at conventions and rallies and LWMLs and churches here to tell the story of Hands of Mercy. And then we work mainly through stateside on making kits. And our kits have been first and foremost, our kits supply a physical need that they have over there. Our first kit was a first aid kit, which we brought over aspirin and Band-Aids and very basic over-the-counter kinds of diarrhea pills and things like that. And we basically handed those out, first and foremost to people with disabilities, but then second to anyone, as an advertisement of the church and of what we were doing, and of the gospel, of course. And so those kits would be put together by LWMLs and societies and individuals here in the States, and then I would be the vehicle to get them over there. And then we graduated into different kinds of kits, the sewing kits, and we have a new life kit, which actually women here have been making cloth diapers out of old T-shirts and taking those over and giving those to any family that has a new baby. We're also hoping and planning that Hands of Mercy will be the site to be making those kinds of diapers to distribute themselves rather than having them come from the U.S. But then we have a kit for new girl, for young women, again filling a tremendous need that was brought to the front by virtue of some women in the prison. I was sharing the gospel and providing some first aid to women in a local prison and asking them what they what we could bring them next time, and they very poignantly expressed the need for some female products. Mm-hmm. So we set aside some time here in the States and developed washable sanitary pads, which are being made locally by many, many women throughout the country. Take those over there, and now they're making them themselves. So it's been really through that concept of linking the physical needs of the people with disabilities with the abilities of women here in the States by virtue of kits. Makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. Very good. Well, I'd like to talk more. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. We're talking with Deaconess Patricia Niffer on Hands of Mercy and their work in South Sudan. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
The Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates and publishes the Book of Concord in the Amharic language for pastors in Ethiopia. LHF also translates and publishes other good Lutheran books into many languages to help churches around the world introduce people to the Savior, Jesus Christ. You can learn about matching funds currently available to help LHF Missions publish almost 40,000 books at lhfmissions.org.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
We are all familiar with John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Were you aware that a hymn was written based on that text? We will be doing our next Law and Gospel with the Reverend Mark Smith, examining the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking about Hands of Mercy today with Deaconess Patricia Niffer. And before we went to break, you shared with us some of the great things that Hands of Mercy is doing in South Sudan and what that has brought about here in the United States as well. I'd like to hear some of the stories behind Hands of Mercy, Deaconess Niffer.
Okay, well, probably the Genesis story, the first one you might say would be that we have a son who happens to have Down syndrome, and he had a rather dramatic birth, but I think it was the catalyst that the Lord was using, if I may use that terminology, to sort of redirect my life, because I was happy the direction I was going until all of a sudden, 33 years ago, he came into our life, and he was it was a huge struggle. We didn't expect it or want it or embrace it the night that he was born, but the Lord had a beautiful event to happen, and that was that he was born on a Sunday, and my husband, who was an attorney at the time, said, well, our baby's going to be prematurely born, and we'd want him baptized. And so he literally walked down the street to find a church in Austin, Texas, and asked that pastor after service if he would, if the baby was alive, would he come and baptize the baby? And so he, midnight that night, Pastor Tom Peterson found my husband in Seton Medical Center and said, I'm here, I'll baptize your baby if he's alive. And Rick said, yes, and this is a double tragedy. Not only is he premature, but 2.5 pounds, but they also suspect that he has Down syndrome. And Pastor Tom Peterson turned to my husband and said, we have a child with Down syndrome, and she's the delight of our life. And did I tell the story all that night? Pastor Peterson and my attorney husband got their theology straight, so to speak, and that began and turned the corner for us, and turned the corner in my life in terms of then becoming a lifelong advocate for people with disabilities. So that's sort of how the outreach to people with disabilities in South Sudan started, was sort of planted in my life. But stories over there have just been unreal. And I think that, again, one of the greatest privileges that I've had is to be able to come back after my month-long journey there to be able to write these stories in terms of what I call South Sudan reflections. And my supporters, if any of them are listening, hear those stories in those reflections as I kind of process the cultural change back from one culture to another, and the time change, which is huge. So, but first story that comes off the top of my head is one as I was walking one day to the UN compound, because we partner with a lot of local resource places as well. And all of a sudden I heard this noise as I was walking past these few huts, and a wheelbarrow caught my eye, which is, of course, a common sight. But out of this wheelbarrow, it looked like there was an arm. And then I looked closer and looked like there was a leg. So I walked over there, and sure enough, there was a young boy who was basically living in a wheelbarrow. And it just, of course, shocked my sensibilities, so to speak. So I found, he was, of course, next to a hut, and went into the hut. And fortunately, his brother also spoke some English, so we were able to really communicate well. This is a young man who has very extreme cerebral palsy, but never had any other physical support other than being able to live in this wheelbarrow. So, of course, that contributed to his physical disabilities to a great extent. So that became a very strong visual image for the need to get better wheelchairs and better means of helping people live more comfortably with their disability. So then we partnered, and I started to partner back here in the States with Johnny Erickson Tata's program called Wheels for the World. And since then, we've been able to get 8-9 wheelchairs, pediatric wheelchairs, over there in South Sudan. We're indebted to Delta Airlines, who allows me to take one wheelchair per ticketed person over there for free, at least as far as Uganda, and then I have to pay for it to get into South Sudan. But the wheelchair, especially that we got for Simon Peter, was fantastic, because it was, not only was it needed to be huge, but it almost laid out like a bed, because his contractures were such that he couldn't even sit into a traditional wheelchair. But this was just remarkable, and his family lives with his brother, who basically moved him around in this wheelbarrow, now had a much greater ability to have him be comfortable, to have him be off the ground, to sleep, and to move around. So it was visibly a huge step forward. And it was exciting to see. The wheelchairs here are reconditioned they're donated to Wheels for the World, and then they're reconditioned by prisoners. So I went down to Indianapolis to our prison in Plainfield, Indiana, mm-hmm. to pick up. I've gone down several times to pick up the wheelchairs. And, of course, then the stories there of the prisoners who are reconditioning, and for them to then hear that these wheelchairs are going to South Sudan. It's just been a beautiful way of connecting people and the gospel and tremendous needs. So that's the first story that comes off the top of my head. I don't know if you have time for another one.
Sure. Yeah. I love hearing stories about things like this.
The second one is sort of funny. It's just unfolding, actually, today. And that is, when I was there in October, November, walking through the market, saw this new little corner thing where they were doing manicures. Let's get our women pedicures. And most of our people have had polio, so their legs are involved and no longer useful. And so they are on the ground, or they're in these modified three-wheel bicycles that we've gotten. But anyway, so we had these pedicures, and it was so much fun. As women, of course, the men in Hands of Mercy wanted to get involved too, and I, you know, sort of chuckled that no, we don't get pedicures in our country for men. But anyway, so came back and was writing up this story and with pictures and. At the same time, a woman, and I didn't even know where she was from because she, of course, just emailed me, and she said, I want to help, you know, what can I do? And we're connected with Thrivent, and Thrivent can give this $250 sort of seed money for a project, and tell me, what can we do? So I, again, was sort of excited over this pedicure experience, and I said, let's see if we can't, you know, equip some of our people with the skills to be able to do manicures and pedicures because they love that over there as well. So that started her and myself just dreaming of how we could do this, and it just snowballed since last November, and to the point where I finally had to say, "Oh, hold up! You know, you're getting way too much stuff that I can, you know, take over there and." Anyway, so she wrote me and she said that one of our development officers was preaching at her church, so he would be able to bring this back, which is what he's doing now. But she said that the 10 churches from Chicago to Cincinnati have been involved in putting together these kits of fingernail polish and clippers and all the stuff that would go into manicures. And then she related how a father and his daughter went out shopping together for fingernail polish, and they hadn't even had any contact with each other for, you know, many months. And it's on and on about how something as you might say, silly as bringing in supplies for a manicure project has brought people together here in the States. So I'm just so excited to be able to take these kits over now going in April. And seeing, and hopefully that they will as well be able to make this into a marketable skill. So that story is not finished yet, so to speak, but I'm excited to see how the Lord has really woven together so many different people and churches all around just a common need to help. And it's just beautiful.
Well, that is a beautiful story. How, and you mentioned churches that are involved. What are the needs today, and how can our listeners help if needed?
Well, I'm happy to say that Hands of Mercy has been well supported by grants from LWML and individuals and churches that have come alongside. We've got a couple churches in Iowa that have just been faithfully sending support every month, and it's just been the most beautiful model to see that still exists. But I'm happy to say the Hands of Mercy is well funded. We have been able to branch out now that we have our facilities secure. We've been able to branch out to help the Lutheran Church there build a primary school and build a nursery school and another village. So we're keeping going, even though we're not building more things necessarily at that particular site. But the needs are still there, of course, for supporting the church and the ongoing work. Hands of Mercy is probably at least 50% self-sufficient, the center itself. In other words, their income is generating half of all of their needs. Their needs for food are, you know, that's the largest part of our budget, you might say. Making these kits still is an integral part of our mission to connect people here. We make these little soap sacks, which help preserve soap out of these little nylon poofs. So that's one of our projects that we're currently making. We've got a lot of the pads and a lot of the diapers, so I'm sort of putting the brakes on that right now. But opportunities to speak and tell the story are still always welcome to come at different churches and talk. And, of course, financial support is always appreciated as well.
That's great. How can we find out more about Hands of Mercy?
Well, we are on the web. Mm-hmm. I'm not able to update our website as much as often as it would probably be good. But anyway, it's all one long word, handsofmercymission.org. Handsofmercymission.org. That there was already a Hands of Mercy
sure,
on the web,
sure.
A different one. But anyway, that's where we are. Also, I operate out of our home here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So that's sort of the home address for Hands of Mercy. But the website gives all the information.
Handsofmercymission.org. Very good.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us about it today. Deaconess Patricia Nuffer with Hands of Mercy. Thanks for being our guest on His Time Today.
Great. My pleasure. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you and all those you get to work with. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study with Pastor Uglum from Chapel of the Cross in St. Peter's, Missouri. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.